The sermon text this morning from the book of Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Take care, the third chapter, the 12th verse. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So as Christians, we have a very definite goal in mind for the outcome of our faith. And that goal is eternal life, the promised land, as it were. It's good to remember that we're not here to in church on a Sunday morning specifically to have our battery charged for the rest of the week. We're not here to, necessarily to get instruction on how to be better people. Now, don't get me wrong. Both of those things are good, and they're fine, and they're nice, and they're byproducts of the reason why we are in worship, why we are here to hear the Word and receive the Word of God. And the reason is that we are here to confess our sins. We are here to receive the forgiveness of our sins. We are here to have our faith in Jesus Christ strengthened so that we might come to the resurrection and to life everlasting. That's our goal. That's what we're looking forward to. That's what we're looking toward. And the purpose of faith in Christ is to lead us to eternal life. Now, we think about marriage for a second, right? Christ is the groom, the church is the bride, and the church produces many offspring, right? So it's a reflection of marriage. Christian families, husband and wife together, having children so that they might raise their children in the nurture and instruction of the Lord. It is an important thing that each and one of us do, train our children in righteousness as followers of Jesus, so that our children too would come to eternal life. And yes, it is goes without saying that it is very distressing to see fellow believers in Christ fall by the wayside on the journey to the promised land. Now, remember, our promised land isn't heaven. Yes, you heard that right. Our promised land isn't heaven. Heaven will be a wonderful place. Heaven will be a glorious place, a place that we can't even begin to fathom. And it is true that until the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we will continue to, as human beings, live and die in this world, and our flesh and bones will go into the earth to decay and return to the dust from which we were made. When this happens, the soul of a Christian speeds its way to the throne room of God. And when we're in the presence of God, there will be joy and bliss beyond compare. As the scripture states, at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We will see our Creator face to face, and we will be in full communion with God just as we were intended to be. And to be certain, our souls with some form of a spiritual body will rejoice in immortality in heaven. So it's wonderful to look forward to that. It is a good place for us to be. But there's more after that, because when Christ returns, there is the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection will occur when Jesus comes in all his glory, and all people will rise from their graves. Believers in Jesus Christ will be reunited with our bodies in beauty and glory. It will be the body of a human being, but it will be a glorified, perfected body, just as it was created to be. And its appearance will be glorified. Now, I don't think we'll eat. I don't think we'll drink. We definitely won't be getting married. Our relationship with each other will be a different type of relationship. We won't have children, but we will put on, as Paul describes it, a new garment made and woven for us by the victory of Jesus Christ. Sin and all its dreadful consequences will be eliminated, and our bodies will be restored to the full glory for which they were intended. That is certainly something to look forward to, the resurrection of the dead, when these bodies will be reunited with our souls and will be glorified. This is the promised land that we so yearn and long for. Sinners and unbelievers will not enter there, for there will be no place for them. In their refusal to believe, the unrepentant, the disbeliever, will lock themselves outside of eternal life. They will be in a place not prepared for mankind, but in a place prepared for the devil and his angels, where there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Not only that, but they too will have bodies. and they will experience not eternal life, but what is termed the second death. Scripture does not reveal much to us about where the unbelieving soul goes when the rejecter of Christ dies. Suffice it to say that the soul goes not to the glory of the throne room of God, but goes to prison, where there is no light or mercy of God. The day of judgment will come, and the consuming fire of God's wrath will be revealed. Now, remember, Jesus died for all people. He took upon himself the weight of sin for each and every human being that has ever been created, so that all who trust in Christ's work on their behalf will not suffer the wrath of God. The rejecter of God's mercy and the forgiveness of sins is in essence saying to God, "No, I'll do this on my own. I will pay for my own sins." Of course, that's impossible for a person to pay for their own sins. But that's what they're saying. They're saying, "I will do it on my own. I do not need the righteousness of Jesus Christ in any way, shape, or form." God shall then let the judgment fall upon them as they wish, they desire, and as they believe. Now, this next part, I think, is my own idea, but it seems to me God did us a great mercy in barring Adam and Eve from the tree of life. If they had partaken of that fruit, then it seems to me that they would not have died. And what would that mean? They would have lived with bodies for all human history, bearing the effects of sin in those bodies, the diseases, the weaknesses, the pains, and the miseries, with no relief. That seems to me is what will be the fate of those who reject Christ in the eternal life. Not only will there be wailing and gnashing of teeth and eternal fire and the eternal flame in the lake of fire, utter bitterness of the knowledge of the rejection of their joy in eternal life, which only makes them more embittered and more full of hatred, there will also be the full effects of sin dwelling in their resurrected bodies. So quite the opposite of glory and joy and strength of eternal life under the reign of Christ, well, the opposite of that will be true. Misery, hatred, depression, festering decomposition, along with all the mental torment of knowing glory was your free gift, but you rejected it, and that there is no second chance. This is the result of the sin of unbelief. Now, I say that those are my own words. I can't back that particularly or specifically up from Scripture, but let it suffice us to say and realize it to be more important to spend less time on what the fires and torment of hell is going to be like and more time concerning ourselves on how to avoid ending up in eternal damnation. When pondering the result of the rejection of Christ and his work, it's simply apparent this, that we don't want any of our loved ones to suffer that. We don't want any of our family members, anybody we know, anybody we care about to fall away from Christ. We don't want any of our loved ones to face such an unbearable punishment. Thus, we do not want any of us to have an evil or unbelieving heart hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Because unbelief is sneaky, and unbelief is deceitful. It sneaks up on us when we're not even looking, when we're not watchful for it, we're not careful about it. And it has us in its grasp before we even realize it. That's why the Holy Writer says that the Christian congregation is to be ever vigilant. Be reminded, and be reminded that participation in one evil opens us up to participate in more and more evil. You know, when we participate in evil things, evil behaviors, evil actions, our conscience becomes deadened to these things. And then it seeks out another one to participate in, and another one to participate in. And before we know it, we are lost. There's no doubt of the difficulty of talking to loved ones about this. I mean, I have no doubts about it. I know how difficult it is and how difficult it can be of giving a warning to our loved ones that you fear that they're in danger of eternal fire and that their possibility of eternal death is growing each and every day. It's true that we fear that going to grandkids or kids or spouses or siblings comes with the attendant fear that they will get angry or that they will be pushed further and further away from the church, never to return. Yet what is the alternative? Could it be to watch them slide further and further from the cross? It is the saddest thing in the world to see someone make a good beginning in the Christian faith and then to lose their faith before the end arrives. We see in this the evidence of the deceitfulness of sin, that is, living in open sin, non-attendance at worship, spurning of the sacrament of the altar, even comes with it the unwillingness to suffer for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's sake. Coupled with the allure of worldly enticements such as money, enjoyment, and sometimes, yes, even the avoidance of persecution. The details of each person's deceitful heart, and we all have one. Don't think that we don't each have a deceitful heart. Each of us do. It's what we're here to receive forgiveness and the strengthening of our faith for, because our hearts are often against us. But each one of us, as an individual, has our own particular argument, justification for our own personal sins and our own follies. Our call then is to combat this unbelief that is dwelling within us and also within the believers at large. And we are to remind our loved ones and even, yes, the whole world of what Christ has won for them. That is eternal life and all good things in the resurrection of the dead. Dear friends in Christ, we wish that no one perish eternally, but all that repent and receive the forgiveness of their sins and come to eternal life through faith in the work that Jesus Christ has done for them. So let this be our aim. Let this continue to be our goal. That is to proclaim Jesus as the Savior of the world, to call people to repentance and faith in Christ, and in Jesus' name, receive the gift of eternal life. In that same Jesus' name, amen. Now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.